Our scripture reading this morning is from the book of Isaiah, in chapter 40, beginning with the 21st verse. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain, and spreads them like a tent to live in, who brings princes to naught, and makes the rulers of the earth as nothing. Scarcely are they planted, scarcely sown, scarcely has their stem taken root in the earth, when he blows upon them and they wither, and the tempest carries them off like stubble. To whom then will you compare me? Or who is my equal? Says the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high and see. Who created these? He who brings out their host and numbers them, calling them all by name. Because he is great in strength, mighty in power, not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Even youths will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. The word of the Lord.
I was on my porch reading the other day, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, I heard a robin. And it was just singing its little heart out, and I got so excited. I have lived in Oklahoma long enough to know that I shouldn't start planning for spring in February. I know the snowstorms can still come in April, but I was ecstatic. But it reminded me of a time when, at my last, well, several churches ago, I was an associate pastor of a Presbyterian church, and we had a service outdoors. And there was a woman who was thrilled by the sound of a robin. She had been a high school biology teacher, and she said, "Listen to that carol, Victor. That is a creation singing to God." It was only a few months after that that she came down with ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease. And it's a horrible, horrible disease. And little by little, she faded away. And one day I got the call that she had died. Her husband was this short, sweet, little old man. And I called him the day after finding out about her death and went to see him to see if he needed me to help with the service. And that little tiny man ripped into me and called me everything but a child of God and asked me why I waited so long to call him. It had only been a day. And I left wounded. I went and talked to the interim head of staff, and he looked at me perplexed and said, "He wasn't angry at you. He was angry at God. And you're God's representative." And frankly, he was probably angry at his wife for leaving him. Things are seldom about what they're about, right? I keep thinking that maybe the people in the passage today were probably feeling the same feelings as that man. They had been in exile from Babylon for over 50 years. They had lost the war fought in Jerusalem. Their temple was destroyed. Their city was destroyed. they were sent to Babylon to live. Some of them live fairly well. I mean, there are ancient reports of the king of Babylon giving the king of Judah oil and money. But some of them were in work camps, concentration camps. And they had not heard from God in over 50 years. And now, in the middle of that silence, comes the voice of the prophet saying, "Comfort, comfort my people. It's over. You're going to go home." And the people look in disbelief that finally they get to go home. And then there are four questions are given. It's like, why are you doubting God? Have you not heard? Do you not know? Has it not been told to you from the beginning of time, from the beginning of creation, what's going on? In the Hebrew, the words can be reversed from the question to a statement. You have been told. You have heard. You know from the foundations of the earth that God, who stands above all creation, is with you. Is with you. We've had this passage a few weeks ago. It was in the lectionary, the first part of this saying from the prophet. But this part ends it. Pack your bags. You're going to go home. It's over. I keep thinking of this church when I think of the exile of Babylon. That you did have an exile. The soul of the church was in exile when I was here. When you lost your founding pastor. The first time many of you have ever gone through this. Surely it was hard to hear God's voice in the midst of such great loss. And on top of that, you had an uptight Presbyterian boy going through my own exile, coming here to be with you. But that's all gone. And God will be leading you to the promised land of your own lives. For some of you, you have gone in exile. Loss makes that happen. But the voice of the prophet is still saying, you have heard, you know, you have known from the foundation that God is with you and God will not forsake you. God will not forsake you. But then there's the end of the text that's probably the best known part of the text. They that wait upon God will renew their strength. We studied this passage in my Hebrew class, and I asked my Hebrew professor, that word to wait, does it mean to wait like as in a waiter or waitress to take tea to God? Or does it mean to sit and be still? And she said it means both. The Hebrew word means both. And so I want to invite you, and I understand, as an introvert, this is easier for me than those of you who are extroverts. But I want to invite you, as we begin to lean into the Lenten season, to create spaces of silence in your lives. And by that, I mean, yes, unplug the computer, turn off the television. I mean that, yes. But I mean, sit down and make silent the voices in your head that's constantly chattering and constantly telling you things about yourself. Generally negative things. Give yourself a chance to breathe. Give yourself a chance just to be still. Because while the church is, you're exactly where you need to be in the process. We need people who are quiet and wise and can listen for God's voice. I'm often surprised when in church meetings we meet together and we begin with prayer. Oh God, be with us. Help us to hear the voice of your Holy Spirit. Then we do exactly what we want to do. Right? I mean, it's a great irony. But these decisions in front of us and in your own spiritual lives require a wisdom, require a strength. require peace. I have several Quaker friends, and if someone is in a discerning process in their own lives, they will gather the elders of the church together, and they will spend some time just sitting in silence. The elders are never allowed to tell them their opinion. They simply ask questions. And through those questions, they feel like the discernment process takes place. If you've ever read Parker Palmer, who's a Quaker, he talks about how powerful this process is. So I invite you to take time in your lives just to be still and know that God is God, to wait upon God, to listen for God, to see where you're resisting, and then ask for that to be healed. And the result of that is we get to mount up with wings as eagles, to run and not be weary, and to walk and not faint. May it ever be.